This week we're delving into dark matter, and so far we've heard about particles called WIMPs that might be what dark matter's made up of, but there are other possibilities too, and one is a particle called an axion, and now scientists are developing experiments to try to detect them. Gray Rybka is from the Axion Dark Matter Experiment, ADMX, which is in Seattle, Washington, and claims to be the most sensitive axion dark matter detector on the planet. So Gray, first of all, what's actually wrong with a WIMP?
Oh, what's wrong with WIMPs? Well, I'd rather talk about what's right with axions. It's a particle that was predicted by nuclear physics to solve a very subtle problem. And yet, when we look at how many of these axions should be produced in the early universe, you get almost exactly the right amount of dark matter. I find that's too good a coincidence. You got to look for it.
If I could see an axion, what would it look like? How would I recognize one if it came and slapped me around the face?
Oh, so an axion is very light and very weakly interacting with anything. If you imagine something like a neutrino, it's 1,000 times lighter, much less strongly interacting. Its behavior is much more like a radio wave than even a particle.
Given that dark matter is all about gravity, if these things are incredibly light, does that mean there must be lots and lots of them to subserve enough of an effect then?
That is absolutely correct. There's a huge, huge number of them.
And if they're a bit like a sort of radio wave, how are you trying to detect them? Because we heard from Catherine how she's trying to find WIMPs using their incidental occasional collisions between the WIMP and things like sodium iodide. How do you try and find an axion then?
Well, so the axion should interact very weakly with electromagnetism, and that means that if you've got a big strong magnet, you can convert axion dark matter into microwaves. And after that, you just have to detect the microwaves.
But I thought the whole point of this was that we thought dark matter doesn't really interact with anything.
Well, it interacts very, very weakly. You need an extremely strong magnet, and to see the signal, which is in the yocto watts, yocto being the bottom of the SI unit scale, you need both an extremely sensitive detector and you need very, very low noise. The whole thing has to be cooled to 100 millikelvin just to keep the blackbody radiation from making it impossible to see the signal.
Talk us through actually how your detector works then. So where is it built? How does it work and what does it do when it registers a hit? How will you know when you've found an axion or two coming through?
So it's at the University of Washington, and the outside is an 8 Tesla superconducting magnet with maybe a 50 centimeter bore, about a meter deep of active area. Inside that, we have a big tin can. Well, it's a copper can. And we can tune the frequency that can resonates at. We can tune what microwave photons it picks up. And as we tune that, sweeping across frequencies, if we hit the frequency that corresponds to the axion mass, it'll start ringing up. And so we'll see extra power coming, you know, just out of the dark matter. And we pick that up with what's essentially a very, very fancy AM radio.
Does that mean then that when they're in this intense magnetic field being resonated at the right frequency, it's actually the particles or the waves themselves, the axions that are moving backwards and forwards and generating that signal that you are detecting?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You can view it as the axions are turning into microwave photons, or you can view it as just an interaction between the axion waves and radio waves.
Actually, how close are you to being able to detect what you think is a real axion now? Because obviously there are sensitivities with all these experiments, and I mentioned at the beginning that you are laying claim to having the most sensitive way of doing this. So how sensitive is sensitive?
Well, this is the exciting part. After decades of work, we finally have an experiment that is sensitive to the theoretically predicted axion interactions, which means now that we're operating just any day as we slowly tune this radio-like experiment, we could make a discovery.
Will there be repetition of this experiment? Because are other people also building similar detectors? Because obviously it's important to do replication, isn't it?
There are a number of people who are working on detectors. Mostly they're working on ways of making them more sensitive. There's kind of an interesting thing about axions is that once you know the exact frequency to look at, it's much easier to build an experiment. So once we've made a discovery, I think that very quickly all over the world, there will be people to be able to build experiments, repeat the signal, see that, yes, we see this all over the world and start doing some axion astronomy with it.
And how does this tally with what Colin was saying about his modelling? If you actually feed in axions into models like Colin's, do they actually fit the bill?
Yes, that's kind of the interesting thing, is there are people working very hard to say, is there a difference between axions and WIMPs in what we would see astrophysically? So far, the answer is no, but there's always hoping that more subtle models will be able to fish out the difference.
And is there any grounds for considering that there might actually be more than one particle? Because you're in the axion camp, we heard from Catherine in the WIMP camp. Is it possible that actually more than one thing's happening at once?
It's certainly possible. You know, nature can be very, very rich. Just Occam's razor that we kind of hope that it's just one thing. If it's many things, that's great. It'll keep us physicists in business for quite a while.
Gray, thanks for filling us in all about it. That's Gray Rybka. He's from the Axion Dark Matter Experiment in Seattle. Thank you.
So with a bit of luck and with all these experiments going on to get to grips with it, dark matter may not be able to hide from us for that much longer. Thank you also to our other guests this week, Martin Rees, Colin de Graaf and Catherine Fries.